360.
Children of Men, Alfonso Cuarón's terrific film from 2006, stars Clive Owen as a guy determined to protect the world's last pregnant woman in this dystopian 2027 Britain.
I'm scared. Please help me.
She's pregnant. Now you know what's at stake.
Despite the global species significance of her pregnancy, it is Owen's character who is definitely that movie's star. As they run away together from police and terrorists, our point of view is his. This hour of Studio 360 is all about motherhood. And I'm happy to report there are some new works of fiction about pregnant women where the women are the unambiguous heroes. Like Children of Men, these are stories set in dystopias, but the mothers in these stories protect themselves and their babies. Studio 360 producer Zoe Saunders spoke with some of these writers, beginning with Louise Erdrich.
You have eyebrows, eyelashes, even a little hair. Your footprints and fingerprints are legible now, and the complex components of your eyes have formed even though you will not open your lids for a couple of weeks. Sight is the last sense to develop. The nerve connections in your hands are still perfecting themselves. Your brain, the big question mark, has been making 5,000 neurons every minute ever since you were 4 weeks old. Every nerve cell can make 10,000 connections. All along, the neurons have been steadily migrating to their destinations. I guess they just know where to go from the moment they are formed. They travel in waves, millions every day, moving along glial pathways. You've got all of your neurons now, billions and billions, and with every second, 2 million new connections are made between them. More connections than stars in the sky.
That's from Louise Erdrich's novel, Future Home of the Living God. The main character, Cedar Songmaker, is a young Native American woman who finds out that she's pregnant just as society is beginning to crumble. She's speaking here to her unborn child.
Cedar Songmaker's really talking to herself about what's happening to her physically. And in a way, your first pregnancy is an incredibly abstract, strange process. So everything inside her is changing. And it makes women intellectually precocious at the time because we have to try and absorb this very abstract thing that's happening. How can you believe there's another entire individual that you are forming inside of yourself? You know, it's happening all the time, but it's crazy.
I had my son when I was fairly young, when I was 25, and I just had this real fascination in the fact that you could create another whole life.
The novelist Megan Hunter found her own pregnancy to be kind of a potboiler.
It seemed this kind of endlessly fascinating thing to me. So it's not really a surprise that I've written a book about this in the end.
Her book is The End We Start From. And like Erdrich's, it begins with a pregnant woman in a dystopian scenario. There's so many types of stories you can tell about having children. So why science fiction?
Pregnancy is science fiction.
That's Parlyanne Boswell, professor emeritus at Eastern Illinois University. She wrote a book called Pregnancy in Literature and Film.
It's the idea that you have your own body and all of a sudden you're sharing it with an alien, something in there that's making you throw up or making you sick, that's changing the shape of your body and you have no control. Oh my goodness, I'm sharing my body with someone I don't know and he's not giving me much sleep and I'm losing my life. It's very frightening, and it's difficult in ways that we don't ever talk about, except in science fiction. That's where we talk about it.
Pregnancy was the great adventure, it seems now, the great bravery. To allow my lungs to be doubled in size, as it said in the books, to submit to the gulping placenta. It is only humans and monkeys who let the fetus feed from their own blood supply, I read. Only humans and monkeys who let their young release themselves back into the mother, float themselves into her, minute explorers.
In Hunter's book, an unnamed new mother and her newborn infant face hardship alone, on the run from rising floodwaters. But to her, the extreme weather outside seems almost banal compared to the truly awesome science happening inside her womb.
There's a sci-fi dimension and there's a slightly uncanny sense to it. I remember being really shocked when I read that the cells of fetuses were found in the mother's brain. You know, I found some scientific article about that. So when the baby is in the womb, their cells actually go up into your brain. I just thought, what? You know, why has nobody ever told me this? That is just a kind of really shocking fact.
I can't believe this is even physically possible. This can't work. This can't work. It doesn't make any sense. This sensation of getting bigger and bigger was one of the major experiences I would have. And I felt that way when I was pregnant, this growing sense of claustrophobia because, like, the world is the same size at all times. Chairs are the same. Everything else is the same size. But you, or me personally, or the, you know, whoever is pregnant, is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're sort of like that strange sense where you're half asleep and all of a sudden you have this sort of out-of-body experience where you are vast. You're suddenly so big that you can't imagine that you can be contained by a world. But that's almost what it's like. Like, you really are getting bigger and bigger and the world is staying the same.
I was interested in that experience of just suddenly realizing at a certain point you come home from the hospital, you're holding your new baby and everything has completely changed. And perhaps then you look out the window and you see, okay, everything hasn't completely changed, but it's just changed for me. But then it feels like that, you know, and I think the book was in some ways an exploration of, you know, what if that really was the case, everything really had changed and that sort of metaphorical flooding was a real flooding.
So while these characters are thinking obsessively about the weird transformations going on inside their bodies, those thoughts are complicated and threatened by what's going on in the world outside. In Erdrich's story, unexplained changes in biology have created a reproductive crisis, and all pregnant women are kept under lock and key. In Hunter's story, a catastrophic flood has turned England into a desperate refugee camp.
I think we all give birth into uncertain times and into our own particular kind of circumstances of change and of disruption. Obviously, some people far, far more than others. And in the book, she is in a very particular, perilous, dangerous situation. So her waters break, the flood happens. I was interested in the image of the amniotic fluid that the baby is growing in and the links between those, really. And, you know, there's a certain quality in which the whole book is about the motherhood experience, but within this particular context.
And faced with these threats, the mothers switch over to survival mode. We as a culture often view pregnant women as helpless and less than. But these stories show the strength and tenacity and resolve that mothers can marshal.
What motivates her, and I think it's what motivates a lot of women at some point, is a kind of rage to see this through and to see your baby and to really survive. And she has that. She has a survivor's instinct.
There is anyway a very instinctive sense when you have a baby that you absolutely just have to keep them alive. You know, it's very visceral. I remember becoming obsessed with, were my children breathing? Were they stopped breathing? And I think that takes on a different, you know, texture, a different shape in the book because she's in a life-threatening situation sometimes. And so that sense of needing to survive, of needing him to survive, is all the stronger.
In these two novels, the women have to draw on their own strength. Both of the women have been abandoned by their husbands, who caved under pressure. But what about when the threat comes from men? Like in The Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood's book, and the popular Hulu series based on it, where men try to control pregnancy. In the face of a fertility crisis, women are kept as baby-making slaves.
You girls will serve the leaders of the faithful and their barren wives. You will bear children for them.
Or in Mad Max: Fury Road, where the warlord, Immortan Joe, holds women captive as sex slaves, or breeders, to bear his children.
And her, that's my child, mine property.
But in Erdrich and Hunter's novels, women aren't shackled by their pregnancies. They're empowered.
when men write about it, it's interesting to me because they are almost in awe of what women can do. And when women write about it, we are terrified of what men can do. It's about being controlled almost always when women write about it. And when men write about it, like in Dune, it's like the women have this enormous power that nobody can figure out. And it makes complete sense that our sense as women is we are going to be controlled. And we can be controlled because we become less and less physically agile. We become more helpless. And that's maybe the most frightening thing about being pregnant. You know, it's something that men don't experience.
Pregnancy narratives, especially those generated by women, are about pregnant women as warriors. What is more difficult than giving birth? Nothing. And women are heroes. We are the warriors, the ones who give birth. And of course, women become the heroes of their stories. Pregnancy allows that.
With the Me Too movement and escalating threats to abortion access, women's autonomy and rights can feel like a battlefield these days. But here's the thing with battlefields. Soldiers are tested and warriors emerge.
I think this is the coming fear for lots of people. Pregnancy and who decides who gets pregnant, who decides how a pregnancy proceeds or doesn't. I'm guessing that within the next year or two, we will see more projections of pregnancy in film and fiction. And it will also have something to do with who's in charge of pregnancy, which is something that all science fiction asks us to consider.
And no matter how dark this dystopian fiction gets, there's something inherently hopeful about these maternity tales. Erdrich's heroine, Cedar Songmaker, remains optimistic about the future, despite all evidence that the end is nigh.
At this point in the book, Cedar and her mother are in a U.S. Postal Service truck. And they are going somewhere unknown, and her mother is very depressed about what's happening. She feels that they're living through hell on earth. But Cedar really doesn't, and this is what she tells her mother. Here's something strange, Mom. Please just hear me out. I have this feeling, as I carry this baby into life, that things aren't really going backward. Things aren't really falling apart. All that is happening, even the purest chaos, physical and personal, even political, is basically all right. I know it seems naive. You might even say it's hormones. But the feeling is so powerful that I have to tell you, I am happy.
A baby brings sort of the presence of the future into the present. There's a hope that things are open and that things are possible and that things are always changing and that we don't know, and that that uncertainty holds a kind of trace of hope.
Pregnancy becomes a seed of hope in a world gone mad where we don't understand what's going on or it's falling apart. Absolutely, pregnancy becomes the only thing that makes sense.
I am happy at the very pit of myself. I feel this stupid joy, a sense of existence, a pleasure in the senseless truth. We happen to be alive. We didn't ask for it. We just are.
That story was produced by Studio 360's Zoe Saunders. You can find out more about the writers Louise Erdrich and Megan Hunter and Professor Parley Ann Boswell at our website, studio360.org.